The second reading is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for the ascension of our Lord. On this day you raised up your Son to your right hand and seated him on the highest throne of all authority. As we hear your word today, strengthen our faith to trust that Jesus is ruling and reigning over all things and to anticipate his coming again in power and glory and might. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope to which you have called us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, last night I had the pleasure of once again teaching the 8th grade confirmation class, students from both Calvary and Faith. And we spent our class reviewing what the students had learned over the past couple of years. And we were talking about the Apostles' Creed and how in the first article of the Creed we confess that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. How in the beginning God created all things by the power of his word, by speaking. And so I asked the students as part of their list of questions, I asked them, so has God the Father ceased from his creating work? In other words, did the Father stop creating when he rested on the seventh day? And the students rightly answered that no, God had not stopped his creative work, that he continues to do his work right down to today among us. And so after all, he created all things in the beginning, but he continues to sustain all things by his creative power, and he gives us creation as well, each one of us. God the Father continues his creative work, but then we came to God the Son, Jesus Christ, and I asked them, well, was Jesus' work finished on the cross? Was he done? Jesus did say, after all, on the cross, it is finished. Did that mean that Jesus could kind of kick back after that point and he didn't have any other work to do? And the students once again rightly said, no, Jesus did plenty after his crucifixion, most incredibly, his resurrection from the dead. Jesus, when he died on the cross, did finish his work, accomplishing everything necessary to atone for our sins. But his work continues even after his death and even beyond his resurrection. And so I was contemplating these things in my mind, and I was dwelling on the Ascension Day celebration we were going to celebrate today, because I still had a sermon to write for this service. And so as I was meditating, I thought that surely now, after Jesus has ascended into heaven, now he gets a break. Finally, Jesus' work is done. Sure, Jesus says that he's coming back on the last day, but until then, Jesus deserves a rest. And I could just hear the confirmation students in the back of my head saying, wrong, Pastor, wrong. Just as the Father is still working, Jesus is still powerfully working in the world and in our lives specifically. Today we are talking about the ascension of Jesus, and in his ascension, Jesus continues his work, and even beyond his ascension. However, in his ascension, his work takes on a little bit of a different appearance and a little bit of a different character. But Jesus' work is not done. His work continues to all eternity. And I mentioned that Jesus' work, now that he has ascended into heaven, has taken on a different look than it did before he ascended, when Jesus was still on earth with his disciples. Of course, one of the most poignant differences between Jesus' work before his ascension and afterward was that before, his disciples saw him, they touched him, they spoke with him, they ate with him, even after his resurrection. But now, after his ascension, Jesus is no longer seen, at least in the same way, by his disciples. Jesus is still living, his work is still very much active, but his activity is hidden, in a sense. A great illustration of this hiddenness of Jesus' work after his ascension is from the text that we read from Acts for today, which tells us that when Jesus was taken up and the disciples were watching him go, eventually he was covered and hidden by a cloud, and they saw him no longer. Jesus' work has not only taken on a new kind of appearance, but also a little bit of a different character. When Jesus was on earth, the character of his work was primarily servitude and sacrifice. And we see this most powerfully demonstrated in Jesus' life when he stooped down to wash his disciples' feet, and even more powerfully in his suffering at the hands of the authorities and his crucifixion and death. Now that Jesus has ascended into heaven, however, Jesus' work has a totally different character, it seems. That it seems almost the opposite of servitude and suffering. Now, Jesus' work doesn't look like the work of a servant, but more like the work of a ruler or a king. St. Paul describes what it means for Jesus to be ruling in his power and might. He says this in Ephesians chapter 1. He talks about how the immeasurable greatness of Jesus' power is for those who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he goes on to say, and he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that passage for my study for this sermon, I was just blown away by the description of Jesus ruling in power and glory and might, given authority over the whole world and especially over the church. Now, in theological language, this is the distinction we make between Jesus' humiliation and his exaltation. During most of his life on earth, Jesus was working according to his humiliation. He was bearing our sins and bearing the sins of the whole world and suffering the rejection of the world and even shedding his blood and dying for us on the cross. But Jesus' work in his resurrection and his ascension and afterwards clearly belongs to his exaltation. To be exalted means to be lifted up, and not just lifted up, but to be lifted high up. And in Jesus' ascension, we see quite literally Jesus being lifted high up into the sky, to the point the disciples could see him no longer. But in his exaltation, Jesus is not only lifted high up in a literal sense, lifted up into the sky, but he's elevated to the right hand of God in the heavens. And he's given all authority, the highest place of authority over all things. Everything has been put under Jesus' feet, the scriptures say. In his ascension, Jesus is telling us that he is in control. He is the one who is sitting on the throne. He is the master of the church and of the whole creation. But remember, we also said that Jesus' work, after his ascension, in a certain sense, has a hiddenness to it. And we see this even with Jesus' work as a ruling and reigning king. It doesn't take long for us to look around in our world and see a somewhat of a lack of evidence that Jesus is in control, that he is ruling and reigning. We see, in fact, much more evidence when we look with our eyes that tells us that the world and perhaps even some branches of the church are more likely being ruled by the devil than by Christ. But it is precisely when we look around and we have a hard time seeing the evidence of Jesus' rulership, his kingship over everything, when Jesus' promise in the ascension gives us the most comfort. Because you see, Jesus tells us through his ascension that even when we don't see evidence of him ruling in the world, even when it seems like the whole world is going astray, even when we ourselves are going through hardship and suffering, we can know for certain that Jesus is still the king, he is the master, he is the ruler over us. Jesus is Lord, and he has won the victory over sin and death and the power of the devil. The devil, in fact, has no authority. Christ has all authority. Jesus even has authority to drive death away from us. And although we struggle to see this reality with our own eyes, we hold firmly to this truth by faith, by trusting that Jesus is true to his word, that he is right now reigning as the authority over all things. Yes, Jesus' humiliation is over, and now he is ruling in his exaltation. But although the character of Jesus' work has changed, he's no longer suffering, but he is ruling with power and might, Jesus' personal character has not changed. Jesus himself has not changed. His love for us has not changed. So even now, as Jesus is ruling as king over all things, he still has the love of a servant for us. Jesus still comes to you and serves you in your daily and weekly lives. And just like Jesus' work as Lord and King, his activity as a servant to us is still somewhat hidden as well. So Jesus comes to us and he does serve us. He serves us by giving us his word and his promises. Jesus says to you today, I forgive you all of your sins. But when we hear those words, we don't hear the words from the mouth of Jesus himself. Instead, we hear those words from a pastor. Jesus serves you in a hidden way through the work of one of his servants, an under-shepherd. And although the words are spoken by an unworthy servant, his words are just as powerful and true as if we had heard them from his own lips. As we contemplate Jesus' ascension, we might be tempted to look at his ascension into heaven as something that should be mourned, something that is sad. It seems like Jesus is leaving us behind in his ascension. But this is not the case and not what Jesus wants us to think when we study his ascension. If we look at what the disciples did after Jesus ascended, we can see that his ascension is not something to lament, but rather something to celebrate. The Gospel of Luke tells us that after Jesus was taken up into heaven, the disciples worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They knew that although Jesus had disappeared from their sight on that day, that he was still with them according to his promise. Jesus promised, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." And Jesus never breaks his promises. So although Jesus ascended into heaven, that doesn't mean that he's no longer with us. He is with us, but again, in a sense, hidden. Today we have another opportunity to receive a service that Jesus gives to us. Jesus actually coming to us into our midst with his presence. Although Jesus was taken up into heaven bodily, today we have the opportunity to receive once again Jesus' very body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. We don't see Jesus appear in a human shape standing in front of us, but yet we still trust in the promise that he is present for us in his body and his blood, hidden under the elements of bread and wine. And Jesus gives us his presence in this very special way, once again to forgive us our sins and to strengthen us for our Christian life. So in his ascension, Jesus has not abandoned you. He is here for you all the more. He is here today among you right now in this gathered body of believers. And he is present with you every day. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "Or do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" Jesus is with you, and he is in you every day through faith. I want to close with one final promise that Jesus leaves us with in his ascension. The promise actually comes through the mouth of the angel that appeared next to the disciples as they were watching Jesus be taken up. As they were looking up, the angel said to them, "Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Although today Jesus is hidden from our sight, in a sense, his work is not finished. He promises to come back and complete his work. And on that day, the hiddenness of Jesus' reign will be visible for every one of us to see. And we will see him face to face. And all that was hidden, all that we could not understand, will be made known. And so on this Ascension Day, we continue to pray as we pray all year long and as the church has prayed from the very beginning and will continue to pray until the end of time. Let us join together in praying, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus."
Amen, come, Lord Jesus.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.